suck my clit. All of you.
Welcome to Burning Hell.
They tried to get rid of us. They couldn't. We're back. We're stronger than ever. We are on hour two, part two of Alex Cooper in the depths of hell. It's about to get even more intense. It feels like a presidential debate, except I'm the moderator. You're just debating your own thoughts and there are no flies.
Wait, I kind of love this. Alex for president.
AC 2020. Okay, it's about to get hot because the Gigglers and Daddy Gang sent me a ton of very invasive questions to ask you, and we're going to get into that. But real quick, housekeeping note, I have my first virtual live comedy show, November 18th, called Friendsgiving. I'm getting all my favorite hilarious comedy friends on with me. The link is in the description, $10 tickets. Sign up for that. It's also in my Instagram bio, Friendsgiving. Let's get into these questions. What is your biggest sexual turnoff?
If a guy ever acts kind of like a baby, like... No, not that he's doing that in the bedroom, but you know when guys can get mushy when they're in love, and like if you do a baby voice, then they do it back to you, and they're like, I just wanna, and I'm like,
oh yeah, no.
I can never see you again, and so then I can't fuck them ever again. And I've had like guys that are really masculine and like aka that professional ex-boyfriend do it, and I was like, the world sees you on a very different stage than I see you right now, and I like can't fathom you now like being a man and fucking me. But I guess also in the bedroom, if you're asking more in the bedroom, I would say when a guy, it's really just when a guy goes in and you know he's coming to get his nut, and I'm like, why are you flipping me around 900 times and like you haven't, like you're not even fucking me, you're just fucking a hole. And I know I am a hole, but I would like to be maybe like sauced up a little, like let's get my hole a little lubed up instead of like shoving it in me. So I think when guys are just like kind of you know when they're like blacking out and they're like, oh, and I'm like, oh. I'm like, hey, come on, slow down.
Yeah, it's so easy for you to for a second stop, and like it helps them not come as fast. Like I forget what it's called, but it's when like a guy kind of takes a break a little, like right before he's about to come.
Yeah, like edging.
Edging, and it makes his orgasm better.
So
and,
much
like,
better.
And I told you this on Call Her Daddy. It's like when he looks at you, like he wants you so bad. Ugh. That is so hot. Not when he looks like he's in his own head, and if he's performing well, and if he's struggling, and he's fighting his like demons from the past of like
literally
past
he's
trauma,
like sword fighting up there. And I'm like, baby, let's like slow it down. Also, if a guy can't eat me out and he thinks he can eat me out, which that is another issue with my ex, I was like, bro, stop it. You are like ham sandwiching, like sloppy, like, bleh! And I'm like, you are disgusting, and I'm never gonna
and in his
in.
Head he's like, she fucking loves my magic tongue.
Literally, I'm like, yo, disgusting.
We talked about the ABCDFGs is not a thing.
No.
And like also every girl likes different things. So if you come in all confident just doing some whack ass job,
disgusting.
It's such a turn off. Be like, did you like that? Did you like that?
Right.
Like, let's talk. When did you first realize you enjoyed sex? Like, was it masturbating? Was it like a certain dude that like just did it right? Because I feel like it wasn't natural for me to first be like, yeah, this is great.
No. Excuse me. When I was having sex in high school, I was like, I wonder when this is going to end.
I know. Because like, when you listen to your podcast, you're like, these girls are living a life of orgasms.
Yeah.
And it's so glamorous. And I wish I could have like the sexual drive of Alex Cooper's labia.
Yeah.
But like,
no, I think in high school, I was kind of like, I was in love with this dude that was just such a bad boy. And like, I was enjoying it just because I was enjoying having him. I don't think I truly, really started enjoying sex until college. And I think that it was a little bit of both. I think that when I really started to masturbate and like get to know my own vagina, and like I was like, oh, I love my pussy, like this is great, I think that's when I really started then going into having sex and being like, I'm going to get in here and twirl on this dick because I'm just having the time of my fucking life over here. And it just was kind of a mix of the two. I also do think that I've been very fortunate with the men. I think it would shock people if they really truly knew my body count, which don't even ask me because I'm not going to tell you. But I think they would shock people that I haven't had so many crazy partners. It's more that the partners that I have had, I have been so close with that it's allowed me to really have amazing sex. Like I am, I'm not usually going and fucking random dudes. So a lot of the men know my body. I know their body. And then inherently we're like figuring it out and having great sex.
Yeah. And that takes trust. So when you hear a crazy story, don't try it on like some random guy you just met that night.
No, no, please. For the love of God. No, no, no.
That's how it ends bad. Most embarrassing experience you've ever had in bed.
When I was younger and I didn't understand what a goddamn queef was, and I was just like not moving, like silent, like staring, blinking at him, like, what do we do? Like, who did that? What was that? The trauma that ensued from that, I was like, I will never recover. I just blew air in his face, like, yo, what was that? And I think it was actually me turning positions from getting fucked doggy to like flipping on my back, and it was just like a poof, like a wah, and a woo, and I was like, no. And I'm like, and in my mind I'm like, I swear I didn't fart. And then after that I remember it was so amazing because that was when I was fucking this dude that was 13 years older than me, and he was like, baby, that is so fucking hot. And then after that moment I was like, wait, yeah, the thought of queefing is actually hot because it means you're so wet and he's penetrating you so much that there's air pockets. And then after that, that's what I told the daddy gang. I'm like, every time you queef, you look at a man in his eyes and you go, baby, that's how I know you're fucking me right. So you take all, it's like, this is amazing. But in the time I was like, yo, who farted?
Also low key, it feels kind of good. It's some kind of release.
It does. No, it kind of does. It fucking does. It's amazing.
I kind of like it.
I love it.
Is there such a thing as like too long in bed? Like, what's your time where you're like, okay, like, I feel like guys like to show how long they can go, but at some point you're like, I'm good, babe.
Okay, so I think that like I've had situations like if there's no lube involved, because like I do like to have long sex, but I do think that like if there's no lube involved, at some point naturally your vagina is not going to self-lubricate for that long. So I think that if I can have lube involved, I like to go different rounds. Like I would rather him like come not fast, but like decently fast. We have a minute, then we get back at it. But I can't have long sex with a guy that's not going to make me come. That's obviously. So like if I find the right guy, I guess too long would be like, this sounds stupid to say, like 45 fucking minutes. But like if you're having really great sex and you're like really like, and I'm talking about like foreplay into teasing, into licking, into dick sucking, into like getting skull fucked, into turn me around. All those things adding up, like you could go, but past it, like 45 minutes to an hour, it's like, I need a break. My back hurts.
Yeah. And when there's just a repetitiveness to it, that's when it's like, honey, switch something up, because I can't do the same thing for more than 2 minutes.
But I'm not having 45 minute sex, don't get me wrong, like all the time. Like, I'm totally good with like a quickie that, like, if he eats my pussy and then we're like fucking in like two positions and it's like 15 minutes and we're in and out, I'm like, that was great. Like I can fuck with short time periods because I'm like,
sometimes it's like super intense and short and you're just like, what did we just get hit with?
Like, whoa, like I'm gonna pass out, I'm sweating so much, that was amazing. Yeah, sometimes those are way better.
I've also been getting an insane response on my Instagram from the episode The Red Wedding on Call Her Daddy. Go check it out. When I said the only way I can orgasm right now is with my legs straight.
So many women are saying that's the same for them.
And they said something about like when you can clench your ass and you could clench your legs, it's actually like a really strong orgasm, but that I have to practice in different positions by myself with my legs bent. Because I think when I masturbate, I am like laying with my legs straight. And that's how I just, that's the only way I can do it in my head. So it's like fucking like training for a marathon.
That's a good,
figuring your vagina out.
That's good advice. You should masturbate the way I said I did in the FaceTime sex. Like, get on your knees and watch yourself in your fucking phone, bitch. All of a sudden you're gonna be like, whoa, I'm hot.
Okay, this is my favorite one. My boyfriend doesn't eat my ass. How do I get him to be open-minded about it?
Sit on his fucking face while he's sleeping and wake that bitch up with the smell of your asshole. No. good morning, baby.
After Mexican.
That's awful.
I mean, I'm paranoid about like farting all the time, but recently I heard something that made me feel better. Because I am a gassy person, that the person who loves you is actually going to love, like, all your scents. It's like how you kind of low-key like your body odor.
It's true.
They're going to low-key like your scents, but I'm still scared of, like, a guy just, like, tasting poop.
No, I agree. I think that if your boyfriend loves you and is sexually into you, then he will not say no to anything. You just have to be like, baby, like, I really, really, really like when you eat me out and I want to try it. Like, why don't we start with ass play? Like, if you've had anal before, he'll definitely eat your ass. You just have to be like, why don't we like talk more about ass play? I think the more that you can explore with your partner, the more that you're going to be connected. So it's like, baby, I think this would be so fucking hot, and offer to eat his ass fucking too. Men love it.
How do you overcome your fear of eating their ass? Asking for a friend.
You don't. You just go in. You go head first, Hannah. You dive into the fucking pool.
And what
and
if
you
it
swim.
Tastes nasty?
You fucking, you get through it, bitch. What you have to do is like, you have to like be in your mindset that this is hot for
this
them.
Is so hot.
And if it's hot for them, then it's going to turn you on, because then he's going to be 10 times more turned on, and then he's going to want to fuck you 10 times harder. So like, everything that maybe you have to push yourself a little bit sexually to do to please your partner, it will technically come back full circle, because he'll be more turned on and then he'll come fuck you better.
Shout out anyone who's ever said that Alexandra Cooper was not amazing for women and not a sex whisperer can fucking listen to this episode, because she's changing lives here.
Suck my clit. All of you.
Okay. This is a funny one. Oh, God. Why do you think 3 guys are okay with dating you at the same time?
Wait, did you say why do you think? Yeah. Can I be honest?
Yeah.
I really think the pussy is bomb, but the mental game is even more bomb. I know it's fucked up, but like, I just know how, like, I mean, this is why I have the fucking show. It's cocky, but I'm like, when I know if I can connect with a guy and he can go there depth wise, I'm pretty like confident that like, there's not a lot of bitches that like give them the conversations I give them. And yeah. In turn, it makes them emotionally fall in love. And so I think that when I tell them, listen, in order for us to work, we can't rush into this. It's healthy to see other people. And if we end up being together, that literally means it was meant to be, because like, we didn't just rush into it. And like, trust and believe, there are so many comments they make being like, well, why don't you go talk to door number 3 about that? Like, obviously you talk about how door number 3 and like, oh, door number 3 is met your parents, blah, blah, blah. There's like annoying shit that I have to deal with. But at the end of the day, I'm like, okay, so what do you want to do? Stop talking. And then he looks at me like terrified, and he's like, well, no, I just think it's, and I'm like, okay, so just, you kind of have to just dismiss them. And every time they talk, you're just like, shh. What are you talking about? Like, you literally, because then they get annoyed, but what are they going to do? Then it's, if you give them the ultimatum, okay, so what do you want to do? You want to stop talking to me? You never give the option, well, I'm going to stop talking to him. It's like, okay, well, fine. If this doesn't work for you, that's fine.
Well, it's like, think about how you are with your best friend. You are not always on your best behavior. Like, right. You know, like that friend you like kind of just met. Like, I feel like me and you were getting like, we were first just like polite to each other, and now we're like more real. But like, when you first meet someone, your best behavior, you will like do things you're kind of uncomfortable with to like make sure they're happy. That is, you need to get to your like, you're being a brat. Like, be a brat, be your full self. And these dudes, if they're into you, will fucking like you more, because you're
true.
It's your X factor. Like, no one could be a bitch like I can be a bitch.
No one. And this is the thing, girls listening, because I know people always say this, like, do the men that you date follow you on Instagram and see you talking about one of them and the other one's like, what the fuck? Yes, they do, of course. But, well, I do have it easy, because I'll be like, it's for the show. But then, like, obviously, I'm like, it's not actually for the show. It's real life, bitch. Get used to it. But what I can say to women is, like, giving off the vibe that, like, no, you should be okay with me. And tell him, you can fuck other girls, too. There's no issue here. That, to a man, psychology-wise, kind of fucks them up even more and makes them like you even more. Because they're like, why is she okay with me fucking other girls and she's fucking other guys? Like, this is fucked up.
Well,
and
a guy then, feeling like you don't need him.
It's so good. It's so good.
Because at the end
good.
Of the day, even I think that right person that you end up with, you never need them.
Never.
And if you feel like you need a dude, you've convinced yourself in some psychological thing that you like need him for happiness, which you don't. It's more like some dude is just enhancing your shit.
That's such a good point, Hannah. I said that to the guy that I'm seeing the other day, because he was pissing me off, and I was like, let me just be very clear, I don't need you, I want you, and wanting you can change very fucking quickly. So get in line, bitch.
And also, when guys fall, they fall harder than girls.
So much harder.
So like once you have them, it's like you want to be respectful of each other, yeah. but you also need to set your boundaries. And like if he's pissing you off, you have to tell him. And if that yep. pushes him away, he's the wrong dude. I gave a guy chlamydia and he liked me more from a different dude.
Dude, it's like scary. You kind of think you're going to die if you don't really know what it is. And then they're like, you just take this pill, shut up, you'll be fine. You're like, oh, that's cool. I can get it again. It'll be all good.
Yes, I'm trying to like fix the stigma of chlamydia. But yeah, you should have safe sex. Anyway. Yeah.
But make chlamydia cool again. Like it's totally fine if you have chlamydia.
It's totally fine. It just means that you're having a good time.
Boom. With lacrosse boys.
Raw boning lacrosse boys that you never speak to again because his teeth were weird in the morning.
Ew. What?
Yeah, I didn't like his smile. Anyway, speaking of physical features, what is your current biggest physical insecurity?
This is hard. Like, I just feel, my biggest insecurity. I mean, I think whenever I do break out, I can't speak to people because I can't think about anything other than the goddamn pimple, like, occupying the real estate on my head.
And when people are looking at you, you're like, I can tell they're fucking looking at my pimple.
Yeah, I'm like, just stop it. I know it's disgusting. We'll handle it when I get home. I saw your
I will literally toothpaste. Start every conversation being like, I know I have a pimple right here. Now let's continue.
I want to like put Band-Aids on it and be like, I fucked up my face. Shut up. I honestly think it's like when I get to like, I know it doesn't look like it, so everyone please don't come for me. But like when I don't work out and I've been eating bad, I'm just kind of like soft.
You know your body.
Yes. And so I've been an athlete, so I know how I can be so toned. And I'm annoyed with myself that I've let myself not work out because I know it's like, these are your prime years, bitch. Like, you should be walking around naked 24/7. Why aren't you working out? So I guess it's just like not having myself be at my best is probably my biggest insecurity. Like, I give myself anxiety. Like, why don't you work out? And then I'm like, well, I don't want to. And then I'm like, it's just a constant struggle I think everyone goes through. But I do think anyone listening, because I know people are going to be like maybe annoyed with the answer I gave. I think when you do, we have been at one point in our lives, which I don't think a lot of people have other than athletes that are like at the highest level. We have had our bodies in the best shape of our lives. So I
compare yourself.
Yeah.
I'm jealous of my old self.
No, I am. It's so fucked up. But like, I know what my ass can look like when I do a certain amount of squats. Mm-hmm. And I'm not doing it. So it makes me feel insecure. Like, why am I not pushing myself to get back there? But I don't know, because I have a fucking show and I'm stressed and I stress eat. Shut up.
Also, your job is now sitting down.
Yeah. Everything. No one can see me, really. It just has to be like, what does my face look like? No one actually knows truly what Alex Cooper looks like in person. Maybe she really is packing downstairs and I edit all of my photos. You'll never know.
You'll never know.
You'll never know.
What is your biggest like emotional insecurity about yourself? What do you hate about yourself?
Oh, God. I think I have a really hard time letting people in. It's something I'm talking about in therapy where, like, I always joke, like, and say that I'm, like, a sufferer. I like to suffer alone. And I have this really weird complex where I think that nobody wants to hear about anyone's issues, really. Like, you really don't care about. Everyone's a narcissist and no one really gives a fuck. So when I'm going through hard things, I tend to, like, self-isolate and deal with it on my own. And I think that when people meet me, I want to know that I could progress in a relationship with them. But, like, I know also, like, here we go again. Like, will I be able to open up to this person? And so it's immediately when it's, I mean, in relationships, I definitely, like, guys are always like, I can't really get a read. Like, how are you feeling? I don't know if that's, I guess that is my biggest emotional insecurity, though, that, like, I guess it's a good thing and a bad thing that I'm protective of myself. But sometimes it gets annoying. Like, let someone else be there for you. Like, try it, bitch.
Well, I think sports, when a coach is like, how are you feeling before the game? Even if you're nervous, you're sore, you're tired, you have to be like, I'm good.
I'm good. We're ready to go. Yeah.
And you treat it. So, like, I've been working on being in touch with my feelings and crying more.
Ooh, crying I, like, could work on more.
I think, like, we should have, like, a weekly schedule to make sure we cry.
No, like, literally. Wait, what's your biggest emotional insecurity?
Oh, my gosh. Oh my god, you turned it on me.
I want to know.
People who don't like me say I talk too much or that I'm like annoying.
Okay.
That's like
people say that about me too, and I'm like, shut up. No, I'm not. I'm fucking amazing.
I'm like, talking is like what I love to do. Yeah. It's what I want to do. Even when I was little, like, people would say I'd giggle too much, so I like created the giggly squad.
I love it.
Or like, so it's the kind of thing where oh, people don't like that about me. Well, that's what I'm going to do for a living. And you'll have to hear my voice everywhere you
go.
Dude,
that's such a... No, but straight up, like, Hannah, like, I get that. I didn't even think about that. I get that all the time. And I think it used to bother me when people were like, dude, shut the fuck up. You're so annoying. Yeah. But now I'm, like, getting paid to talk for a living. So, like, I'm like, no, shut up. Like, my mouth is worth more than you.
And any girl in middle school who was told they're loud and annoying is now, like, actually really funny.
It's so true.
And,
so true.
And entertaining. Because women are taught to not take up space. Yeah. So, like, I just love taking up space. And when I see people be like, no, you can't, you shouldn't do that, or put the microphone down, or you're so vulgar, why do you curse? And then it's like, oh, if I was a guy, would you tell me I talk too much?
Right. No, never. It's so annoying. Yeah. I think when people say that you're annoying, I do get it, where people are like, you're really annoying. But I also think that's just people that are like really like miserable with themselves.
And, but also, like, when people like me, they don't think I'm annoying.
Yeah. They're like, you're so hilarious.
You're seeing me through your lens of your life experiences. Right. Maybe I remind you of your Aunt Sally, who like has the same accent as me,
see,
or something. I don't
there
fucking
you go,
know.
Sally. That's
it's the, your
it's
issue.
The, it's the truth. It is that. Is.
Call Sally and work out your shit and leave me alone.
No, straight up. People that say that people are annoying and too loud, those are the people that have never been told they're hilarious. So on our spectrum, it's either we're either annoying, but then you also get the like, you are literally the funniest person in the room.
Yeah. Instead of me shutting up and not being told that I'm funny and I light up a room, I'd rather be loud and get the occasional Hannah's annoying.
Me too. I can't stop talking.
It's also, it's always people who like want to be funnier than you.
So true. And they're just miserable.
It's never a shy person. Shy people are always like, oh, we love that you bring out a side of us.
Yes. So true.
That's why I love shy people. I love going up to them being like, I know you have thoughts and I'll get them out of you.
No, literally.
Because I'll talk to you all fucking night until you talk.
It's so true. No, that's a good point.
Not to like go on a feminist rant, but do you think that if your podcast, if you were a guy, that you would have gotten the hate that you got for the Barstool drama?
Well, I think yes and no. I do think being at Barstool, they have a very specific model. So let's say that the Pardon My Take guys wanted to leave. I do think there would be an uprising as well, just because Dave would be like, I gave you the platform, you were nobodies, blah, 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 blah. So I do think that would stay the same of like the loyalty to Barstool and why do you think you can leave if you're in contract? I do think there would have been an issue. I do think that the terminology that was being used was very, very sexist, because it, like we said, the greedy, no, it's not greedy. It's never too greedy to ask for more fucking money when you're making a company so many millions of dollars that it would shock the world. And then on the top of the merch, that makes almost more than the pot. It's like, there's just a lot of money involved, and I want to be a fucking multimillionaire by the time that I'm 26. Sue me.
Oh, I love that you went there, because I want to know, like, what's your goal here? Like, do you have a specific manifestation you're trying to get?
Yeah. But I'm not going to say it on this podcast, but what I can tell you is, like, I have for the past few months been essentially concocting something for Call Her Daddy that I think will be iconic in the industry. And I think that the way that I'm going to, I think I could single-handedly change the podcasting industry with like an idea that I'm trying to manifest with regard to the Call Her Daddy brand.
Yep.
And I think that that is why, that's why it goes back to me saying I'm too smart for this shit to be like, I don't know if I want the IP. It's like, no, that's not a question.
Yeah.
Like, in my mind, I see the goal and I see where I could take this brand, and I fucking love it. I love what I do. I wake up every day. Work is not work. This is my life. Like, this is what I breathe. People in my past used to be like, but you want to work on the weekends, and like, I want to go on vacation. And I'm like, there is no vacation. There is literally, for the next couple years of my life, I'm grinding until I am so fucking satisfied where my career is. And so I don't take vacations. And when I'm on vacation, I'm fucking working. So it's like, for me, you get to a point in your career where you have to get rid of people that don't have the same work ethic as you, or else it's not gonna fucking work. Because you can't have anyone standing in your way, especially in entertainment, when you have a goal and you want to achieve it. Anyone around you that's just noise, you need to get rid of it.
Oh, fuck yeah. So if you went to a psychic, what would you want to know about your future?
Ooh, Hannah! What would I want to know? The thing is like, I kind of don't want to know in a fucked up way. I feel like a lot of shit, like, my life is truly something that the shit that happens to me, I always say it on my show, I truly believe people think I make half the shit up that happens to me. So I think I wouldn't want to know, because it's how I live my life. shit happens to me 24/7, romantic relationships, friendships, my everyday life, that I'm like, how is this real? So I don't want to know anything, but I would like to know, like, around what time am I going to have a child?
So do you want a family?
Yeah. And I didn't think I wanted that for a little bit.
Really? When?
I think when I was in college and shit, which I guess is normal, because I just was like, I have so much to accomplish. And now I think that I'm looking at my life, I know that it will just bring me so much joy having children. And the way that my parents get to watch me and my siblings, how we're thriving and succeeding, I want that to have, like, a mini me be doing that. And so I think, and also, like, your values change when you get older. I'm like, okay, I have success and I'll have money, but, like, what's next? And I want people to share that with, because it is a very isolating career and it is hard to trust people. Yes. So I think, like, having my own family is, like, very important to me. So I do want it.
Got a lot of DMs asking, does Alex want to get married? Does she want a family?
Yeah. And I think that, listen, I understand that the brand in the beginning, it was like the thought of either of us getting married, it was like, that's not even a concept. But I think that for me specifically, I never really saw it, because the men in my life that I've chosen in the past, having this career wasn't even an option to, like, then be getting married to a man like those that I was dating. But now I have a man in my life that, like, who knows if I'll get married to him, it will break up in a month. But he's the first guy in my life that is like, you are the most talented woman I have ever fucking dated, and it is the hottest fucking thing watching you every fucking week do something better than anyone on the fucking charts right now, and it's the hottest fucking thing. And I'm over here like, oh wow, I really could have a relationship where a man allows me to be the boss ass bitch that I am and thrive, and also have time for a relationship and kids and a family, and like, I don't have to quit my shit just because I have a fucking kid.
You don't have to dim your light. You don't have to work on proving yourself. Yep. It's someone who just sees you for you and, like, knows that this is just the beginning.
So true.
Alexandra Cooper. I like calling you Alexandra.
Hannah.
It's very formal because this is a presidential debate moderation. It's time to play our final game, the 7 deadly sins. We're on an hour 30, but this is a breeze for us.
This is a breeze. I could keep going.
You're, like, actually waking up right now.
I know. I'm, like, finally, like, seeing, like, not dark spots. I'm like, whoa, hello. Okay, what did I say this whole? I'm going to regret this whole day. I'm like, what did I just tell everyone in the world? Like, fuck. No, it's good. I think it's a good side to show myself.
Hell yeah. You've been great. It's time to play our final game, the 7 deadly sins.
7 deadly sins.
What are you greedy about?
I'm greedy about my time.
So you say no to people?
Yeah. I didn't when I was young.
So
like, I had a hard time doing it. I was talking about this with Lauren because she was, like, stressing about her time. And I was like, just say no. And she's like, I can't. I've gotten very greedy about my time because I only have so much energy to give. The show takes a lot out of me. So, like, I mentally need a lot of downtime. Being an extrovert, I'm also a huge introvert. I need my downtime. I need to recharge. Same. So, I'm greedy about my time.
But my thing is, as someone who's pushed themselves, like, in sports, I feel like I can push myself. So, when someone asks me, I'm like, you could do it. Like, I know you don't want to, but you can do it. So, I don't know when to, like, respect myself.
No, it's hard. I get what you're saying, and I don't know really where that changed for me. I think it was starting this show. It's not me being a bitch, it's really just having to take care of myself. But I'm like, no, I need to learn how to, like, put limits on shit
in general, not just Instagram. Who are you envious of, or who do you look up to?
Who am I envious of? I can't say on Instagram I'm envious of anyone, because I don't believe anything I fucking see. Like, I feel, and maybe this is fucked up to say, but, like, as hard as I have some days, like, really down days, like, I really am just trying to every day live my best fucking life. And I don't really focus on anyone else's shit. So to be envious of someone, it means that, like, I'm wanting something that I don't, that they have that I don't. And, like, I don't really feel that way.
Yeah, you don't get jealous when you're in alignment with what you want. Jealousy is, like, your body saying, like, I want that.
Yeah.
Do you have, like, an icon or, like, a mentor or someone that you looked up to growing up?
That's an interesting question. I was thinking about that actually the other day. I think my mom had asked me that. And I was like, I know this sucks as an answer, but I kind of don't believe in mentors with regard to the entertainment industry. Because if you have a mentor, it means that you're trying to essentially you're putting limits kind of on it because you're watching what they did and you're trying to do it and you're not allowing for like error or different ways that you could potentially go. Like you're just watching them and trying to do what they're doing. And I don't want to do what anyone has ever done. I want to do everything that I do. I want it to never have been done before. So it's like, that's why I do not listen to podcasts. I'll listen to this one maybe like a little bit and then I'll be like, I need to turn this off because I'm going to cry. I only listen to my own podcast. I do not listen to other podcasts because I never want my content to be influenced by anyone other than my own brain.
We're like exactly the same.
Boom.
Like 100%. Or people will be like, who's your favorite tennis player? And I'm like, literally, I wanted to be
me.
People to say that I yeah. was their favorite
tennis player. Like me.
And like, if you try to be like other people, it's so limiting.
Yeah.
And I really feel like just how you're like, I can't tell you what my big goal is, but like it's there. People are seeing you right now thinking what you've done is the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
So like you've actually like are reaching for the stars and like hit a moon or whatever the like corny quote
right.
is. So it's like reach for ridiculous amounts. I never ask people what their like 5-year plan is because that shit is restricting.
No.
The whole podcast industry could be changed by Alex Cooper tomorrow. I'm getting goosebumps and I might have to shift my whole plan.
Right.
Literally live each day challenging yourself,
yeah.
not limiting yourself
yeah.
in any way, and break up with guys who are bad at going down
Please.
On you. Anyway, what are you gluttonous about? Or like, what's your guilty pleasure?
Please look behind me. Hoodies.
I didn't want to call your ass out, but like,
dude,
whose clothes are
guys.
Those? But you only wear the same like 2 outfits all week.
Well, I only like film in some, but like I technically will wear like 7 different hoodies a day. There's something about them that just have taken over my life. No, I think, what am I gluttonous about? I literally think it would be like I have an addiction to buying hoodies and then never wearing some of them. But
where do you like shopping? Like, where's your go-tos?
That's a really good. I was about to be such an asshole and be like, barstoolsports.com/callherdaddystore.
No, yes, the swag
okay,
is so
I'm not
going
to lie. I think that there have been things that I put out in the past that I'm like, that wasn't as good quality as I wanted. But I do have to say, Lauren has been wearing, I only wear my sweatpants now on the, because I like took so long. Because I was like, listen, if there's one thing that Alex Cooper is going to perfect, it will be a hoodie and sweatpants. Like, that's what I live in. So I've been wearing, but I think like, sweats, and then I just buy so many, and then it gets to the point where it's like, you don't need this, but I'm not.
It's like, how many black t-shirts
but
can
I
own?
I think it's weird because I think, okay, I'll be honest, making more money now, I only spend my money really on, I want to live somewhere that is so healthy for my mental like state.
Yes.
So I want to ball out on rent, and that is more important to me than getting a Chanel bag. Like, it's way more important.
Yes.
So I go in on like where I live, so my surroundings, and then I never like don't ball out on like what I'm ordering for food. I think like
yes.
order whatever you want, and then my clothing bill definitely ramps up, but it's not on the clothing that anyone would think a girl is buying. It's what you see behind me. Boom.
When was the last time you were a sloth? So like a lazy piece of shit. Like, when do you know when you have to give yourself off days?
Okay, so like my schedule, like here you go, Daddy Gang. Here's the insight. Sunday night, I start to have my mental breakdown.
I thought we were gonna start a little positive.
Sunday night it begins. So Sunday night I try to begin manifesting what it's going to look like, what my intro will look like, what the episode is going to look like. Monday, I'll record. Tuesday, and edit. And then Tuesday, I edit to the point that my brain is going to blow up. And then I do not sleep. I pull all-nighters from Tuesday to Wednesday, even if I finish early, because I sit up and I refresh and refresh and refresh to see what people are saying about the episode. And then the sun rises. And so I pulled an all-nighter. So Wednesdays, I'm a zombie and I just have therapy. And I try to take Wednesdays to myself to just be like, you didn't sleep. You have therapy. Lay down, bitch. And then Thursday, the process begins of like thinking, manifesting, what would it be? I try to take off and get like all my other shit done, like merch stuff and like work mm-hmm. and like have business meetings and talk about like who are my guests and my travels. And then I try to take off a little bit of time there, and then I get back into it and start another episode.
I love that you just gave us your week.
So if you guys were wondering where I am, like, that's where I'll be. But most of it is literally me sitting in my home trying to concoct what is the next Caller Daddy episode. And let me tell you, those brainstorm sessions put me over the fucking edge.
And I'm going to say I've been on at least like 100 podcasts I've guested on, and I've never dealt with someone who is so meticulous and passionate about each episode than you.
Thank
so
you.
Like when people are like, do you understand like why it's so popular? And I'm like, yeah, it's different. Like her process is different than other people's.
And I appreciate that. I think that it's hard. I think for a while I tried to not show people that because I wanted it to seem effortless. And it's, oh,
like so
friends just talking about dick. But it's the truth is that when people say, like, why do you only do one a week? My answer is Call Her Daddy is like an HBO show that you watch once a fucking week and you indulge in. It is not a sitcom that you're like, oh, I'll listen on, I'll watch on Monday, but then I missed the Thursday episode. This is like the content you think is so fun for you to listen to. The thought that goes into this show, it consumes my life and I love it, but it is like 24/7.
And I think the fact that you gave me the privilege to come on and be a guest, like, has been such a big compliment, and I think it actually, like, took my career to another level.
That makes me so
and
happy.
I hate to say that, but like, I've been grinding on my own and stuff, but you kind of gave me this like little stamp of approval in just like the industry that, like, if Hannah could guest on Call Her Daddy, like, she's doing something right.
Yeah, that makes me so happy, Hannah, because I think, like, I do think I can recognize talent, but it's very specific. And when I saw you, I knew the way that you are in podcasting. Like, I don't even know. I wouldn't even call myself an expert. I'm really trying to do something people don't do.
You're an expert at what you specifically do.
Like, I'm sitting here, I'm like, am I doing this right? Like, I hope I'm not boring people. Like, I'm not talking super fast and doing all my different.
Well, you're never a guest. Right?
So, but I do think that, like, seeing you, it was cool to watch your show rise on the charts after you came on. It gave me such joy to know that, like, you helped me out too. I am every week trying to figure out how to make this show perfect, and you came in and you fucking killed it, and my fans were like, yo, like, this girl and you are dope together. And so I was happy.
I think it was
to see you.
It was cool. I was nervous. I went in basically being like, I'm gonna try my fucking best. I'm gonna bring my A game. Yeah. Obviously, it helped that we have natural chemistry. But I was like fully expecting for people to be like, she's not as pretty as Sophia, and we hate her.
Dude,
and I was just
gonna
be like,
it's stress inducing to come.
Also, it's a fucking podcast. Who cares how hot I am?
No, it is stress inducing. I think the Daddy Gang is very aggressive, and if they don't like something, trust me, they let me know. They're like, Alex, never again. And so picking guests has been hard, and I think that, like, I want to integrate diversity, and I want to have gay, straight, lesbian, bi, black, white, pink, whatever the fuck. But it is, like, I think people don't understand how hard it is to podcast and get in a groove with someone. They think it's just gonna sound like it does every week, and I, as the producer of the show, have to make sure, no, I know what it's like when I'm sitting down with this person. You all get the final product, but is this going to be?
Yes.
So it's very hard to find guests, and I'm
like,
so
some
happy
things are you. Harder to get to that final product.
Yes.
To find
with
that
us,
like, gold.
It's hard because we talk so long that I'm like, so I have a part two. Here we go.
I know. That's like sitting down. I was looking at all the questions I've gotten, and I was like, I'm not going to not ask these questions because I'm like frothing at the mouth.
No.
So I'm like, let's fucking do a part two just like she does.
No, straight up. Who cares? It's fun.
When I saw you, like, when I looked at, like, your videos and stuff, I thought maybe I was just being like, oh, I like her. But I didn't realize that subconsciously it meant, like, I knew I'd get along with you.
Yeah. Yeah, I honestly had no idea why I was so drawn to reach out to you. But I just remember being like, there's something that's
gonna
work.
It was fucking rando.
Rando.
I thought it was a bot.
You're like, Alex Cooper is not DMing me sliding in right now. I'm like, yeah, I am.
Oh, also, how it happened is you DM'd me from Call Her Daddy's account.
Because I couldn't. For some reason, it wouldn't let me do it from my personal. I was like, why can't I?
It was so weird. You were like, I'm so sorry. I wasn't working on my personal, but, like, I would love to talk about having you on,
right,
or, like, have a FaceTime, like, brainstorm some ideas. And then I didn't hear from you for, like, a week, and I was like, it was a joke. Like, if someone was on the account,
fuck,
they were just, like, messaging random people.
Dude,
like,
I was
whatever.
In the thick of trying to, you have to realize, like, I did my funeral episode.
Yeah.
I had 1 week. Like, I straight up did my YouTube video and went down into my parents' basement after that and started recording the funeral. I had no time to be like, what is the show gonna be? So I thought I did. I haven't had a chance to stop and be like, what do I want the show to be? Because every week I've just been going since. So when I messaged you, I never went back into the Call Her Daddy DMs because I was like, gotta go do my next
scared
fucking show. And
scared.
Then obviously it worked.
It worked out. And I also deep down was like, I'm not gonna force her to come on Burning in Hell because she doesn't do interviews. But if I got her on, I was like, the people would see a side to her that, like, I see.
Yeah. I know. I'm like, fuck, I want this to like, I want to like now do this on Call Her Daddy. I just don't know. It's not really the content. And I feel like that's a little narcissistic.
Well, I do think if I come on again, we could do like, this. we could have like a,
well,
a
I'll
mental
give,
health
I'll
segment.
Give the Daddy Gang a little heads up, because maybe there will be, the 100th episode is coming out on after the 20 week of the 21st that I come back from my trip.
Oh my God. I wish we could have a party.
The person that I'm having on the 100th episode is going to shock people, and I think people are going to be like, I never thought that this person would come on my show, and so I think it's going to be amazing, and I think hopefully we'll be able to do something like this where I will really get into a side of myself that no one has ever seen.
Okay, we are getting such good tea. I'm loving it so much. I also think that when you got solo, I was like, I was so excited for you. And I also think that the show is going to evolve.
Yeah.
Like, the show is always going to evolve. That's how, it's like how relationships evolve. And I think that the show is like reality TV to me.
Yeah.
Where you're, but it's also super like insightful and you give a lot of great advice, but people are also itching, like with us, they're like, what's happening with the relationship?
Right.
So like, if you could start getting some people you've spoken about to like come in, like that shit would be,
dude,
fire.
It is wild. I think it is so crazy that it's kind of become, inherently didn't even mean to do it, but like podcasting, making it a reality show, it's almost that,
and
is
you,
what it is.
It's your life,
right.
It's your crazy fucking life. Would you ever do a form of reality show?
Like, I don't think I
Alex
would.
Alex Cooper in New York City.
I don't think I would, because I think the day I did that, I would have to stop the podcast, because then I really would lose it. Like, I'm selling my soul so hard on this show.
Yeah.
And to then go and do reality TV, I just don't think it's for me. I have a lot of respect for it, but I just don't think.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah. We'll see in a couple of years.
You're like, you don't know
we'll
that yet, bitch.
I mean, what if it was like following your life with the pod for millions of dollars? You're the star.
It's just like, I
well, you already do it on your vlog.
I know, but I pick and choose when I do it. I think like it's different to have a camera crew in your face and really having to like kind of sell your life for a second. And I think especially because you're on a show where it's about a bunch of people. If it was just about me,
yes.
I'm just,
it's different.
I kind of don't want to totally sell my soul and be like, I'm doing all of this. The podcast is enough for me right now. It really does take a
lot.
Like
you're saying, you'd feel like you'd give too much of your personal
life. And it
life.
Would be like, what do I have for myself? I'd be too involved in trying to show the world who I am. I'd be like, what am I? What's going on? Like, how do I have time to like nurture my own relationships if I'm trying to exploit them 24/7 on a show and like a podcast? It's too much.
It sounds like, it's funny because I actually texted Dez, my boy toy, who's very smart and like in the industry for a while. And I said to him, I said, let me know if you have any good questions for Alex. And the first thing he says is, have you made a conscious decision to hold any part of your life back from public consumption?
Yeah.
And this is you clearly having kind of some healthy boundaries
with
yourself.
It's weird because I think it is hard. I try to show as much as I can on the internet and my podcast. But the truth is that it is hard. But there is a lot that people don't fully know about me. And who knows, maybe I would exploit that part of myself eventually. But for right now, the amount that I'm giving people, I think, is a shit ton. And so behind the scenes, yeah, I do have, I have managed to, I think I also owe it to my parents. Like, I think I was raised in the most normal middle class family of two parents that love each other. And so like, I do, I'm not a kid that came into this. It's like, yo, like I am, like I came from nothing. And like, I don't have a family. And like, I was living on the streets. Like, I went to Catholic school. Like, I went to church every Sunday when I was younger. Like, we had family dinners where we had to hold hands and say grace together. Like, that's how I was raised.
People ask me, would you do reality TV? And I love that we went down that journey
together.
No,
I think it's a good question. I also think that I am in control, but I do think that it definitely is scary. You get to a point where you're like, whoa, am I taking it too far? There have been things that I've done that I'm like, oh, was that a little too far, like involving people? Like, you have to know the boundary of when you're trying to create content. You do exploit a lot, so you have to really try to make sure that you don't cross boundaries, but boundaries will be crossed inherently.
But I could see, I'm trying to manifest, like, I love documentaries about like powerful women, like the Taylor Swift documentary, the Lady Gaga documentary. I could see like you fucking up this industry and like one day, like, there's a sick doc about like your day to day.
Oh my god,
and what you're really like,
dude. That would be fucking sick. I'm not opposed.
Okay. We're just having fun. We're just having fun trying to take over the world. You have to surround yourself with people, though, that have, like, big ideas. Like, that's just, like, my favorite friendships.
I agree.
Is other girls I agree. Who are, like, crazier than me.
No, I agree. I think that, like, you are very... You, like, I know we're not, like, we don't know each other so well, but I feel like through this process, you and I have been talking more about shit than maybe a lot of friends do, but I feel like we're getting to know each other, and I do have to say you're definitely a woman. I love it that, like, hypes other people up, and you've been such, like, a good friend to me in the industry, because I don't know that many people, shockingly, as much as I have this show. It's, like, I don't really talk to a lot of people. I don't integrate myself into the community, because I try to just stay, like, doing my own thing, which I know you want me to, like, switch up and, like, come to the comedy clubs.
We'll see. We'll see when Corona, you know, if it ever dies out. But I mean, Corona dies. Anyway, if there's a vaccine. But I do think that I, like, hate networking and being fake with people. So, like, when you have an authentic connection with someone in the industry, and I think me and you have a lot of similarities in different ways, where, like, sometimes you lose friendships because you're just doing such different things. Yeah. Like, you'll see with your career, like, some people are just like, I don't understand what you're doing, and, like, I can't respect it. And you're just like, okay.
No, it's true. Then you just got to move the fuck on, because you can't stop your shit for someone that doesn't get it.
When was the last time you let your pride or your ego get in the way of something? This is the hardest one.
Oh. My ego, man. It really does something to me sometimes. With regard to my relationship with Slim Shady, I swear I'm going to write a book on what truly happened to me. There are things that happened in that relationship that are so fucked up and so dark that I would never wish on my worst enemy that happened to me and put me at the lowest point in my entire life. And I remember my parents picking me up. Like, so when you have someone that has people around them and them doing that to you, my ego was like, I have the biggest podcast almost in the world right now. If you for a fucking second think that I'm not going to talk about this fucking man on my podcast and exploit him a little bit here because of what he did to me, that definitely is something I've had to work on, because it's like, it is a great power that I have with this show.
With great power comes great responsibility.
I know.
Spider-Man.
And so I kind of have had moments where I'm like, I gotta check myself. But I'm not gonna lie. Like, his best friend that I just called on my show, Bozo, pretty sure, like, his fucking wedding is, like, fucked up right now because I, like, talked about it kind of on my podcast. The things that that kid did to me are so disturbing that I don't feel bad because they injected themselves into my life recently. And so I just talked about it on my show because, like, I'm a third party. Why are you coming at me? I'm going to talk about it on my show. You've come to me before and I talked about it. Why are people still coming to me? You know I'm going to talk about you on my fucking show. Why? I'm like, why? This poor girl. But I'm like, why are you coming to me? You know I'm going to talk about my show. So I think my ego, I at times get a little too revved up because, and sometimes I think it hurts me because people don't know the full story, so they'll look at me and be like, oh, Alex is being like a bitch. But I'm like, if you knew what these people did to me, you would be cheering in the background. But Daddy Gang is, like, pretty fucking supportive of me, and they're like,
and I think when they know you, like, they read between the lines. Sometimes the Burning in Hell listeners, the little devils, fucking know. They're like, you didn't say it, but I know that that dude pissed you off because of this or this.
And I think this whole situation was past, like, a pissed off situation. This was, like, serious issues where, like, parents were getting involved and, like, lawyers and, like, it was really dark.
How do you get out of those dark places?
Dude, my mom, like, she's the best. And she literally picks me up when I'm on the ground, and, like, she's the smartest woman I've ever met in my life.
It's funny because my mom is that too. Right. Like, I actually, when I was, like, 26, I had to have a moment where I was like, I can't ask my mom for everything. And I have to just trust my gut. Because it was, like, affecting her at some point where, like, I'd get anxiety and she was anxious because she was so responsible for me. And people would just see me. They didn't realize my mom was behind everything.
No, straight up. My mom and I are, like, we're kind of, like, this, like, brilliant little duo. And I'm like, everything I'm doing really also should have, like, featuring Lori Cooper, because that woman is, like, co-signing. I send my mom my intros every week. She's the only person that hears them every week now, because I don't have anyone that helps me with the show, and I don't trust anyone. And my mom will call me and be like, it could have been better, you could redo it, it could be better. And that is the relationship I have with her, and it's, like, pretty, it's the most beautiful relationship I have in my life.
I'm gonna cry. Shout out to Lori and Lenore.
Woo! Moms!
And for letting us come out of your vaginas.
Totally.
Last question of Seven Deadly Sins. I can't believe this is 2 hours now. When was the last time you lusted over someone? But we know you're like seeing someone right now, so I'd rather do who's your celebrity crush.
This sucks because I wish I had a good answer. And every time I get anxiety when I see people ask that on a show, because yeah. I don't know mine. And everyone's like, oh, I know this right off the top of my head. He's my background. I don't have one. I
like, even when you were little, who was the first guy you were like, oh, he's fucking hot.
Oh, like, I think I was like weirdly obsessed with Johnny Depp. And the weird thing is I fell in love with him in Edward Scissorhands. So I don't know what that says about me. Dude, like, that's like really weird. Like, it was literally that movie that like got me going. And I'm like, what does that say about me?
You like guys who are sad and fucked
no,
up.
No, literally. I really think Johnny Depp is like some type of fucking hot. I mean, I hate to say the young Brad Pitt obviously fucking does it for me. Yeah. And I.
Do you like blondes or brunettes? You're all over the place.
Dark. I like darker, but like, I mean, Brad is just Brad. But no, Johnny yeah. Depp, I think. I like a guy with like, not tattoos, only if he's like really rich. Sorry, gonna say it. But like, if you're like, I'm sorry, sorry, but if you're like kind of like a fucking loser.
If you're spending your rent money on
your
tats,
get out of my face. But like a dude that's like Johnny with like the like scruff and like the dark, I like that. Yeah. That's kind of what
but
my
I
new
do
guy
think
like.
When you're dating celebrity guys, it's hard because you fight the idea that people have of him with your reality of him sitting on the couch with you.
I don't want to date a celebrity. I tried that and I'm like not doing that anymore. I like a guy like that's in the industry that gets it, but like mm-hmm. has a private life. Like the guy I'm dating right now. Oh, I'm in love. Getting married. Oh, love it.
Wait, what kind of ring do you want?
I have no idea.
I've actually never thought about that.
I don't
either.
Know. When people talk about certain cuts, I'm like, I don't know what that is. I just want it to like look big and nice. I don't know. I have no idea. That's why I think people think I'm super superficial and like all that shit. I'm like, I don't even know what kind of ring I want. I don't know. I don't want a big wedding. I want it to be so small. I want nobody to know I got married.
So to wrap this up.
Oh my God.
We have gone on such a journey together. It's been 2 weeks.
Holy
at this
shit.
Point. What advice would you give to the little devils and the daddy gang on how to cope with their hell? When you're in the darkness, when you're at the bottom, what can people do to like see the light again? And they can't call Lori because
they can't
Lori.
Call Lori. You don't have a Lori. I think, speaking from personal experiences, is it sounds dark, but like be in the hell and be in the darkness. Like cry, listen to sad music, like be so depressed, like embrace how you're feeling. Because the more you embrace it, you slowly don't even realize, but you're then coping with it. And then eventually what's going to happen is one day you're like, I've cried enough. This is fucking boring at this point. Let's lift ourselves the fuck up and get outside and put on some fucking makeup and like get it going. If you try to run from the darkness and you try to run from what you're really truly feeling, it then lasts 10 times fucking longer.
Like you will carry that sadness. And it gets heavier and heavier.
Yes. And that shit is not fucking healthy. And so it's like, don't feel bad to embrace it and cry and have those nights where you're like eating like shit and you're just like embracing it. Cause those are the nights, if you fully lean into it, then it's like I said, then you're like, okay, how many more nights can I do this? And you have to just like pick yourself up eventually, but embrace it, I would say.
Alex, you've been through so much hell and you've come out okay. I can't wait to see where the fuck you go. I'm so fortunate that you took the time to come on my podcast because I'm just like a random bitch in the world.
No.
And I feel like you've given such great insight from sex to your personal upbringing to your mental health. And you're the fucking best. If you don't listen to Call Her Daddy, you must be under a rock. But you better fucking subscribe right now. Alex, where else can people follow, watch, just, buy
yeah,
shit?
Yeah, you guys can just go to my Instagram. It's Alexandra Cooper. Go to Call Her Daddy's Instagram. It's just Call Her Daddy. And then whether you listen on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you listen, go listen to Call Her Daddy. It's a time. It's a fucking full-blown time. And you'll definitely laugh. Or cringe. Both are great.
Or cry. Who knows?
Or get horny and start masturbating.
Thanks for coming to hell. And I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.